Just an amazing time of worship just now. One of the songs that you sang that I hadn't actually heard before was the one from, and I actually looked up the lyrics on my phone, The World Outside Your Window by Hillsong Young and Free. I can't believe I've not heard that. Clearly I'm not in touch with this generation anymore, but I'd not heard that song before, and I looked at the lyrics because there was something that was said and something was sung that I believe is such a prophetic declaration. And I don't even think we really truly understand when we sing, we're not only singing because it blesses God's heart, but actually what we're doing is we're taking ground spiritually. We're pushing back principalities and powers. We are taking ground in the spirit realm. Not only just are we blessing God's heart, but we're also here to shake the devil's kingdom. And one of the things that was said, and I just want to touch on this really, really briefly, because it was, I believe, so prophetic, particularly, and it ties in so well with the message that I want to share tonight. I love it when God does that, because then you kind of know that you've heard from God, and it's just, I love it when God does that, when he orchestrates every part of your service just to kind of come into alignment. But so it just says there's a song that stirs the spirit, and it calls the heart to life. It's an anthem in the making. Can you feel it start to rise? I don't know about you, church, but there's something happening in this season that we're in. So I have to put my glasses on. There's something that's happening in this season that we're in, and this season that we've been living through, that is causing a stirring within churches. It's causing a stirring within people. And it goes on to say, can you hear the generations getting louder over time? I really, truly believe that this is going to become the greatest days that the church has ever seen in our churches in this next season, as the doors begin to open and God begins to pour out. Because the Bible says that he will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I think we feel within this season that we've been in that the church has really suffered. And there are some churches, sadly, that are no longer meeting, not even online. I mean, we've had the ability and the privilege of being able to do church online, and we've had to redefine how we've done church, and we've kind of and there will come a day when we won't be talking about COVID every time. You know, it won't be woven through every message that we have. But right now, this is the season that we're in. And it goes on, it says, can you hear the generations getting louder over time? Every son and every daughter singing out into the night. People are crying out in this season. People need God. People need community. People need family to belong to. People need each other. This whole pandemic has done nothing but bred fear and isolation. And the enemy wants to divide and conquer. It's simple as that. Was it Abraham Lincoln said, a house divided against itself will fall? You get that separation within the church, and churches are not surviving. And then it goes on and it says, it's not a time to be silent. Don't you dare hide your light. There's a world outside your window, so don't let it pass you by. And I just want to stop there right now with that scripture. And I really believe those words, those last few words that I have just spoken. It's not, there's a world outside your window. Don't let it pass you by. How many of us have stood and looking out of our windows over the last 18 months? And we're looking out and there's that separation, but it's not the time to be silent anymore. And I was going to share this at the end of my message, but I really feel I'm just going with the Spirit of God right now. And I was going to stop and pray, but I just feel that the Spirit of God is moving and the Spirit of God is speaking. Somebody shared in our church on Sunday, and he shared a story from 2 Kings chapter 24, and the title of his message was called Your Captivity Is Over. How much of a prophetic message is that for this generation, for us right now living in a pandemic, coming out of the other side? This is the closest we've come back to having normal freedom in our lives in the last 18 months. And even within that, there is talk about it being closed down and shut down. And will they truly release all social distancing in? So again, we're living on that kind of knife edge of that balance of, are we, aren't we? Will it, won't it? And yes, the vaccination has helped and the death rate has lowered, but then we've got a new variant and then they're going to find another variant, and those things are always going to be present. But he shared from 2 Kings chapter 24, and it's about Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, And I'm not going to share it in its entirety because I just want to pick out a couple of things that he said. But basically, they had been in captivity for 70 years. And it sounds, the story sounds just like COVID, that it had, it took everybody. There was no discretion. There was nobody left out. Nobody was untouched. Everybody was taken into captivity. So they were in captivity for 70 years. And then the same king that put them in captivity then said that they could come out of captivity. But half of them, or a lot of them, didn't move. They stayed because of their fear, their depression, because of the suffering and the struggles, the trauma that they had experienced. They didn't feel like they had the right to go back into freedom. How much does that sound like COVID? We've been in captivity for so long. What does life look like now? Can we go back to doing the same thing? So we'd actually rather stay where we are than come back, because we're not sure what that looks like anymore, because it's been so long. I mean, thankfully, it's not been 70 years. It's not even been 70 months, but it's been a long time. But his message, the captivity is over. And linking that with that song, don't hide your light. It's not time to be silent. There's a world outside your window. Don't let it pass you by. Church, we have to rise up in this end of this season. We have to rise up as churches. And that's what I really just want to share this evening about the church. It's still in some sense a work in progress because God is still downloading some information to me. But I really felt, as I was praying what to share tonight, I really felt to share about belonging and building. We need to build houses that people, or homes that people, could come and belong to family. Now more than ever, the church is needed. So we've heard the word. We're going to pick up some of that scripture. We're going to pick up some other parts of that scripture. But I'm just going to pray, and we're going to jump straight into my message tonight. So Father, we just thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for your presence with us tonight. We thank you that your word says, well, two or more gather in your name, that you are right there in the midst. And Father, we just praise and thank you that tonight that you would speak to our hearts. Father, we thank you that your word would go deep, it would take root, and Father, it would flourish. Father, that we would gain a revelation, that we would draw closer to you in this time. But Father, above everything, we would hear you clearly for this season that we're in. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So we heard those two scriptures earlier. I want to ask you, have you ever heard the statement that we are wired for relationship, that no man is an island? Have you heard those statements? Some people put it like this. Mother Teresa said, alone I cannot change the world, but I can cast a stone across the waters that create many ripples. Helen Keller says, alone we can do little, but together we can do so much. Even in Genesis, it says, the Lord said, this is God. He said, it is not good for man to be alone, and I will make a helper for him that is just right for him. We all know on some level, whether believers or not, that we were designed, that we were created to not do life on our own. There is something within every single human being, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, to belong to something. There is that deep desire within us that just drives us to want to belong to community or family. And see, God's solution and God's plan is his church. So being connected with God and being in relationship with each other is really truly where our souls find most satisfaction and pleasure. This is where life truly becomes rich and enjoyable. By investing in others and in return receiving what our hearts really desire the most, love, connection and belonging. See, God intentionally made us with that embedded, that need for family and community, for a unit that is greater than ourselves. It's his design, it's his purpose. It wasn't accidental, it was intentional. God does not do anything by accident. Everything God does is intentional. So this season, as we've just touched on, of this pandemic, of being under house arrest almost, it's brought isolation to so many people. It's brought loneliness, it's brought depression, it's brought mental health issues, it's brought unemployment, it's brought domestic violence, the trouble, all the troubles that go with that isolation. So now more than ever, I believe the church must fulfill its purpose, God's purpose for the church. See, the world's gone crazy. When we see things in the news, we've prayed for some world events that are happening and world crisis and just disasters that are happening around the world. I've got friends that live on the Thai-Burma border, and they're pastors of a church down in Mae Sot, and they do an incredible, they pastor a church, they have a children's home, they do an incredible work with the displaced Burmese people that have fled their country, so they can't re-enter, but they can't enter Thailand, so they live in like no man's land. And these pastors, these friends of mine, do some incredible work down there. And her home village in Myanmar at the moment is under attack with all the issues that are happening. So we're getting updates regularly. Please pray for my family. Please pray for my village. Please pray for my grandmother. And the last prayer request that came through is that there was a photo of her and her dear grandmother, and she had requested that we prayed because the village had to run. But her grandmother was too old and weak to run, so she and refused to leave her home, so stayed. So they've had no contact, no communication. They have no idea what's happened or what's going on, but we trust God. So the world has gone crazy when we see what's happening in Israel, or we see what's happening in India, and we see what's happening with this pandemic. The world's gone crazy, but we're just living in what the Bible describes as the end times. But now more than ever, the church must fulfill its purpose. See, there is a generation of people. There are people that are outside of our windows that we want to welcome into our homes. And I mean the church. See, God's design is for this unit, this community, this family is the church. But we have a responsibility to build that house. We have to build houses where people can belong. Amen. God's vision for the church. Sorry, my iPad's jumping. God's vision for the church is a place where strangers can become family. It's a place where those on the outside, on the other side of the windows, on the other side of the glass, can be welcomed in and find home. It's a place where people can learn to be loved and love. It's a place where broken people mend. This is God's design for the church. This is his vision. This is his heart for his people, for his church. When he put that need within each of us to belong, his answer is, it is the church. See, the scriptures that we've read tonight, the scriptures that we've already read, were written to the churches in the New Testament. I love the letters and the stories that were written to the New Testament church. They were there because the New Testament church constantly needed reminding and encouraging that they were supposed to be a community, that they were meant to live together, that they were meant to work together, that they were meant to serve interdependently, that they were the body, that they were together. See, the body of Christ, that's us, are joined together through Christ himself. But the New Testament church needed constantly reminding. See, God has intentionally embedded the need for family within each and every person. And now more than ever, the church needs to rise up to fulfill its purpose, because now more than ever, people are looking to belong. People need to belong. Probably now more than ever, because right now they've been in a season of almost protection, even though we would consider it maybe captivity, and isolation. People have been protected in their own homes, but now people fear reintroducing themselves into society. But see, God has a design, and the design is the church. Just give me 2 seconds. Sorry, Mike. I love technology, but when it doesn't work, it is a nightmare. But see, God's design is for the church to rise up. And I believe now more than ever, we need to have a glorious church, a glorious body. Sorry, people, just give me 1 second. I'm telling you, the enemy doesn't want what God wants to say. But who knows? We have the victory. So, where do we get to? Yes, the scriptures were written to the New Testament churches. See, if we belong to God and we belong to one another, we belong, we you can't belong to God and not belong to each other as fellow believers. We heard that in those scriptures. In Psalm 90, verse 1, it says that he is the Lord of all generations, that our home is ultimately found in God. This is where we belong. It's the greatest thing that could ever happen to us. Maya Angelou said, "The ache for home lives in all of us." And see, as a Christian, as a believer in Christ, we have found that home. We've found our home in him. And that ache has been filled. it's being quenched, it's being fulfilled within us through God. But there are people out there that have that ache for a home, for a family that hasn't yet been met. See, the church that God sees in these two passages, the Apostle Paul, we see in this passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians, Paul uses the picture of the body with many different parts to describe how believers are tied to one another. Yep, you heard it right. As a Christian, we are tied to other believers. Those ones that rub us up the wrong way, the ones that we potentially struggle with, but we are tied to one another. We are called, firstly, to be in relationship with Christ, and secondly, to be in relationship with each other, to be in relationship with the church. Every part has an equal importance. And it even says that we are to protect those that we can't see, those that are vulnerable. Everything. Even the little toe would go unnoticed if it wasn't there, because it would affect the overall balance of your body. It says, I want to read it from, I think this is the Passion Translation, but correct me, it might be the Message. I love looking at different versions. Don't stone me, but I love looking at different versions just because it puts things in different perspectives. And it says in verse 18, it says, but God carefully designed each member and placed it in the body to function as he desires. So this is God's design. A diversity is required. You have to understand that we're not meant to be carbon copies of each other. That it's okay to be different. It's okay to be diverse. For if the body consisted of one part, it wouldn't be a body at all. I love it that God takes us from wherever we come from, our background, our culture, our religion, our upbringing. God brings us together. It's irrelevant. Those things are irrelevant, but we are all part of one body. Everybody is as valuable and as needed. If you jump down to verse 25, it's intentional by design. It wasn't by accident. The Message, this is the Message version. It just kind of puts it in a little bit of a different way. And this is, I love it in verse 19. It says, because this keeps our feet on the floor. It says, but I also want you to think about how this keeps your significance from getting blown up into self-importance. For no matter how significant you are, it's only because of what you are a part of. So our significance is only there because of what we are a part of. I love how God describes the church. I love how God puts it so simply, that none of us should see ourselves any greater than the rest, because we are part of one body. When I was younger, me and my friends, we were a bit crazy, but we used to ask each other, if you had to lose an arm or a leg, if you had to, if there was no choice, if you had to lose an arm or a leg, which one would you prefer to lose? We would come up with different arguments, both legs, and then, you know, we'd argue the point. Some of us were very good at putting our cases forward. But if you had to, what would you lose, an arm or a leg? The truth is, none of us would want to lose either. Have you ever hurt your arm or you've broken your foot? And I'm unfortunately hurt my leg a few times, well, my ankle a few times. And ended up on crutches. And when one part of your body doesn't function fully, or if it's wounded, it affects the rest of your body. And that simply reminds me that the whole body matters, that every part is valuable and vital, that we cannot lose any part of the body. See, we are the body of Christ, and we can't function without each other. Why is it so important? Because God wants it that way. The Bible says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. God will build his church. And I believe God is building a stronger, more glorious, more braver, more bolder church in this new season as we are coming out of this pandemic. See, God wants us to build churches where people can belong, where strangers can become family, where people on the outside looking through those windows can come in and find home, where people learn to love and to be loved, where broken people can mend. See, as a Christian, existing in isolation, being apart from the church is not an option. It's been great to be able to watch church on a Sunday at home with a cup of coffee in your pajamas, sat relaxing, being connected, but not true. That is not how God designed church. It has been incredible for this season that we've been in, but we cannot stay in this season because captivity is over. Our freedom is there. We need to return home. It says in that scripture, return home, go back to your houses, go back to your fields, go back to your towns, because your freedom is there. But people didn't move because they've been so traumatized by the 70 years of captivity. Church, we cannot be so traumatized by the last 18 months that we will not allow God to do what he needs to do in our lives in this new season. See, we are, as Christians, living in isolation, it's not an option. It's not an option. It's like unforgiveness. As a follower of Christ, unforgiveness is not an option. As hard and as painful as that may be to hear for some of us, as a Christian, we cannot live in unforgiveness. As a Christian, we cannot exist in isolation apart from the church. It's God's design that we would be one, the body, together, a hand, an eye, an ear, a foot, a liver, a heart, one body without any parts missing. See, we're going to serve one another and we're going to be a community that belongs to God and belongs to one another. And I believe that the belonging, as we belong together, that has the power to change the world. The belonging to the church has the power to change lives in our communities. Ephesians, let's move on to this. I love it. We see a few things in Ephesians that God intends for his church. It says that you're not citizen. I don't know what it says because I've got a different version in front of me. But about being citizens, it says you're no longer foreigners or guests, but you're rather children of the city of the holy ones. And another version, the message, you're no longer wandering exiles. See, God is wanting to create a new humanity, citizens of heaven. God wants to, I just love it. The way God just orchestrates, it's so easy for us. Citizens, a new people, a new generation, no longer foreigners. Together, that will be a blessing to the world around them, around us. See, the bond that we have through in Jesus, through the power of his spirit, as a people, is so much stronger than any other bond we could possibly have. It's stronger than the bonds of nationality. It's stronger than culture, race, class. Because of Jesus, we can have a deep connection with each other followers of Christ. But ultimately, those things don't define us. Our full identity comes from him, citizens of heaven. The second thing that really jumps out in this passage in Ephesians is that it goes beyond just belonging, because then it talks about a household and a family. It talks about a household and a family. In one version, it says, with all the rights as family members. So as a new citizen of heaven, we have all the rights that other family members have. And then it says in the message, it says, you belong here with as much right as everyone else. Come on, church, we are called to belong together. See, it is a stronger bond. The second thing is that it goes beyond belonging together and it talks about a family, this picture of a household, a home. A house only becomes a home by the inhabitants that live there. Amen. A house only becomes a home by the inhabitants that live there. Church, we have a responsibility to open our doors, to open our hearts, to open our windows, to allow people to come into a home. It's not a house until it has inhabitants. See, when you're part of family, you see everything. There's no hiding. There is no hiding in families. You see the good, the bad and the ugly. You see the tantrums, you see the tears, you see the arguments, you see the disputes, you see people dealing with anxiety and fear. And there is no hiding in family. But families are also, if it's a safe family, it's a place of, if it's a healthy family, it's a place of joy and celebration, a place where, you know, deep conversations can happen. It's a place of safety and security, of encouragement and support. See, the early church understood this because they started to call themselves. They were constantly reminded, but they then grasped what Jesus was teaching, regardless of their status, that they were all part of a multi-generational family. They understood that they were brothers and sisters. They started to use that terminology. See, we're a household with our brothers and sisters, and this is huge. If we could only grasp this in its entirety, that all of a sudden, whether you're married, single, divorced, widowed, parents, childless, we all fit. We all belong to this place called the church. It's a place, remember, where strangers become sons and daughters and brothers and sisters. So if we understand something of the vision that God has for his church, how far short do we fall if we think part of the church is just turning up on a Sunday or just continuing to watch church online forever? See, this online church has made it so easy for us to disconnect with our own churches because we can watch a sermon from this church, and we can watch worship from another church, and we can watch children's ministry and youth ministry. Don't get me wrong, I'm not criticizing the internet at all. It's been an amazing, invaluable tool in this time, but this is not how God designed us to connect. I'm just sharing my heart with you, church, because we are, as a church, we are reopening our church, we're reopening our program, but we're seeing the fear in people's lives still. But captivity is over. God wants to build a glorious church. God wants to build a church where people belong, where people serve, where people are all in, because they're building a house, they're building a home for people to come, and where broken people can mend, where people on the outside can become inside, where strangers can become family. How much short do we fall if we think church is just 2 hours on a Sunday? Church isn't a show. It's not something that we consume. It's something that we contribute to. Church is something that we belong to, not something that we attend. See, in family, everyone plays their part. I don't know about if there's any parents watching. I don't know the age range of people here. Maybe as a young person, your parents may have said this to you, or as a parent, you may have said this. But my parents used to say to me often, "Don't treat this place like a hotel." And staying in a hotel, this is my home when I lived at home with my family. Don't treat this place like a hotel. Staying in a hotel is amazing, isn't it? You especially if you get upgraded with your room, or you just it's amazing. You turn up and the sheets are all crisp and clean and fresh and made, the bed is made and the towels are all, and you've got little shampoos and soaps, and you might even have like tea and coffee and biscuits if you in a really posh hotel. But it's amazing staying in a hotel. And then you wake up and you go down for breakfast and you just help yourself, or they wait on you, and then you go out for the day, and when you come back, the bed that you left unmade is made, and the fresh towels. It's amazing staying in a hotel, but a hotel is transactional. You turn up, you do nothing. It's devoid of relationship. Churches are not meant to be hotels where we turn up and do nothing. They're not transactional places. They're not void of relationships. Business people that are on trips can't wait to get home to family, because hotels, as amazing as they may be and as plush as they may be, they cannot replace the relationship because they're devoid of it. The third thing that really jumps out to me in Ephesians about this, and this is my final point, you'll be glad to say, isn't she chatting on tonight? But Paul here talks about people as the temple, and live and the living temple, and he says that are joined together, becoming a holy temple that are being built. That where the Spirit of God dwells, and so this new citizens, this new humanity, this new people that God is building, God is also building a temple. So for the people of Israel, the temple in Jerusalem was the focal point of their identity. The whole reason the temple was built was because it was a place where God met with his people. It was a place where heaven touched earth. This is the temple. This is building. This is the church. It's a place where heaven met earth. It's a place where heaven touched earth. Now, Paul is saying that you, me, us, who are filled with the Spirit of God, are now to live our lives with these images becoming more and more intimate, with people becoming family, that our lives are built together. So wherever we go, whether we go into the office, or whether we go into a difficult situation with our family, a complicated relationship, or heaven meets earth, because we're living stones. And this is the most exciting thing, because even though we're building a physical house, the church, we are the church. So we take that presence with us into everyday life. And normally when I preach at my church, I love to use props and examples. And I just want to, I really do want to just close with this, but I want to show you this, if you can see this. This is a brick. This is a house brick. I moved house about 18 months ago, and I moved house, and I moved into a new build on a new estate, and I live in a red brick house, and this brick was floating around down by the, because I live next to like a really nice grass conservation, well, I call it a conservation area, but basically it's where people walk their dogs. There's been a few deers and foxes, but it's basically a path in a patch of grass where people walk their dogs. But there's no houses next to me, and this was floating around along the side of my house. And I live in a red brick house, so this brick was probably left over from building my house. So I've kept it, and but the thing about a brick is that you don't really buy, you don't go to a hardware shop and buy a brick, just one brick. Well, you might if you want to use it as a doorstop, or if you want to use it as a bookend, or like me, I use this brick to hold down the lid on my recycle bin. But it wasn't designed as a bookend. It wasn't designed as a doorstop, and it certainly wasn't designed as a weight to hold the lid on my recycle box. It was designed to be cemented together with other bricks. It was designed to be brick by brick. God is building his church, brick by brick. Brick by brick. It wasn't designed for any other purpose. And see, Paul is using the image that the church, with all these different bricks coming together as living stones, cemented together by the power of the Holy Spirit, where God can live in us and can outwork his purpose into a broken world. If you are detached from the church, you're like this brick. It achieves nothing when it's not cemented with other bricks. It being cemented with other bricks can mean it's part of a glorious building, my house, a church building. Think about your church building. It's brick upon brick. It's not just one brick. It's cemented in. We have to become cemented in. Jesus himself said, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And again, love for one another can be expressed, can't be expressed. Our songs, our cameras, our online platforms, our social media, our WhatsApp, our TikTok, our Facebook. It has to happen in person. It has to happen in person. Francis Schaeffer says, our relationship with each other is the criteria the world uses to judge whether our message is truthful. This is describing Christians. See, alongside the COVID-19 pandemic, we have seen a pandemic of loneliness. We are seeing crazy numbers of people describing themselves with mental health issues. And I shared the story earlier about Nebuchadnezzar and about the people that were so traumatized that they stayed in captivity. I want to encourage you tonight that captivity is over. It's time that we belonged and built churches that people can come and find family, where people can come and mend. So I want to ask you and challenge you as we finish today, what are you going to do in this new season with your brick? Are you going to be all in? Are you going to cement your brick into the wall of the church that you belong to? I'm going to take my brick and I'm going to cement my brick into the wall of City Faith Church. Because my brick, if it's missing, just as much as if my arm was missing, my body would be missing an arm. If I'm not present, then my church is missing something. If you're not present, your church is missing something. If your brick is absent, it's missing a brick. That's how vital and important we are in the body of Christ as we are in our churches. And God wants to build a glorious church, because now more than ever, the church is needed in our world, in our nation, in our city. Your church is needed right now in its community. And God is going to, I believe, have a fresh outpouring in the church. I know that God is speaking. I believe that God is already speaking to your pastor and your leadership about what to do in this new season, of how to reach your community. I really want to encourage you. It was so great to see young people leading worship today. I want to encourage you. young people, God is going to do something new through your generation if you will just take your brick and get cemented in. It's God's design that no man would live alone, that we belong to a family. Amen. So, church, I want to thank you again for inviting me to share the word with you. Come back this evening. So, Father, we just thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that you would challenge each and every one of us of how we could become more of the church that you see, where people can find in our homes, they can find a place where they can mend, where strangers can become family. Father, I thank you, God, that if we have issues with any of our family members within our churches, Father, that we would deal with them, that we would pray for them, that, Father, we would continue to love, that you would continue to teach us to love and to be loved. Father, I thank you, God, that it is your design. It's your design. You put that need within us to belong. And Father, I pray right now in this new season that churches would be built, that bricks would be cemented together. Father, that it would be brick upon brick. Father, we thank you that as doors open, Father, the influx of people, Father, would just come, that people would find a savior, that people would find a family to belong, and your church, your vision for your church would be realized on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you very much. I'm going to hand over now.